with the sermon that I had prepared to give, which I've entitled Passed Away. Introduction to this topic, and the topic has to do with a phrase, a couple of words that we use in our culture that reflect something that is not appropriate, passed away. We all grow up in a culture which goes on around us and leaves numerous indelible marks on us. We end up being affected by the things that happen and are practiced around us, or the conversations that go on around us. They leave an indelible mark on us, and we need to consider what those things are. They affect how we think, how we feel, and how we act. So we've just gone through this time of New Year's, but that's not really the New Year, is it? God has given us a different New Year. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Just be rather brief in this. The Lord spoke unto Moses in the land of Egypt. And this is what the Lord said to Moses. This is not what Moses said. But here, the Lord spoke unto Moses. So this is not something that might be considered a part of the law of Moses. This is what God said to Moses. This month, now what month was he talking about? As far as we understand, he's talking about the first month in the spring of the year after the spring equinox. So that would be approximately April. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. We and our society, and as I said, we're affected indelibly by the culture around us and the practices around us, and those things rub off on us, and we take part of our behavior from that fact. Starts in this society in January the 1st, dark of the year. But that's not the way God starts the year. The beginning of months will be in the spring of the year. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This is a topical sermon. I'm talking about two different types of sermons. One is topical, the other is expository. Dr. Ward kind of introduced the concept of expository sermons to me back probably 10 or 15 years ago now, and so I find out how valuable they are. But this is a topical sermon. The topic that we're talking about here is death and cultural attitudes toward death. And the title has to do with that, passed away. We use that terminology when we talk about somebody who has died. That is the terminology that we find people normally reflecting death in their society. And there are, as a result, there is a reflection of a cultural attitude toward death that is held in this world. This is going to be a corrective sermon. Now, when I say it's a corrective sermon, I'm not going to get up and rail against you and tell you that you're doing everything bad or condemn you or something of that nature. Correction is, in many cases, and in this case, not a condemnation, but a determination that maybe the course that we're following here is not the course that we should be following, and we can change just a little bit. it isn't necessarily the big things that we miss out on. And this is a small thing. But yet it is a small thing that we should pay attention to and be corrected about. We should, if we do this, correct our behavior. I got an example of this in, I think it was 1970. I was green as a little onion sprout coming out of the ground in the spring of the year. And I had asked to go to Spokesman Club. I had been admitted to Spokesman Club. They had, I don't know if everyone here, I'm sure everyone here doesn't know very much about Spokesman Club. But in those days, every church area had a Spokesman Club. And everybody, or many people, would attend the Spokesman Club. Spokesman Club was broken up into an early session and then a later session. The early session was called Table Topics. And there was a Table Topics chairman. And he would throw out a question and call on people in the audience to stand up and give a one-minute answer on that topic. Well, there I was, this green onion just sticking out of the ground. First time, I think maybe in the first, may even have been the first time I attended a Spokesman Club meeting. Called on me about the death of Ho Chi Minh, I believe, had just died at that time. He was a communist dictator leader of Vietnam, and it was still during the time of the Vietnam War. And I got up and I made some comment about Ho Chi Minh being a dictator who had passed away. And the after the table topics, then the director of the club, in this case Ken Swisher, who was the regional pastor for the southeastern United States, called to the entire club's attention the fact that I had said Ho Chi Minh passed away. Now, he said that's not how it should be expressed. We should have said that Ho Chi Minh died, because passing away ties into the concept of the immortal soul, that you really didn't die, you just passed from this physical life into a different life. And so that's where I got my correction on the matter. Table Topics, Spokesman Club. After I gave this sermon in Elmira, closing prayer, Mr. Dick Close had the closing prayer, and in that closing prayer he said, we need to be careful of the things we say because we can contribute to perpetuating a lie. You know, passing away, the idea of passing away is incorrect, isn't it? It is really, I will submit to you, a lie of Satan, which he uses to do away with the truth of God. Now, I thought that was a good comment. He kind of captured everything I was saying, I'm trying to say in my sermon in one sentence. So that was pretty, I thought it was a pretty profound way to put it. It is interesting that when we come to New Year's, as it is reckoned in our society around us, men take stock of events in the previous 12 months. And that's kind of all the news programs will say, well, let's see what happened in 2016. And they'll talk about this event and that event and the other event, which were of profound importance in the year 2016. Take stock of events around that time. always there seems to be a noted event, or at least among the noted events, there seems to be a litany of deaths that occurred during that year. The year 2016, we had more than our usual number of celebrities. I don't know, I don't have a list compiling how many every year, but it seemed like more celebrities and more important celebrities died during 2016 than normally do. Some examples. Muhammad Ali died in the year 2016. We had just before the end of the year a rather tender pair of deaths. Carrie Fisher, and I didn't know who Carrie Fisher was. Carrie Fisher was the daughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher. And they were at one time back in the 50s America's sweetheart couple before Elizabeth Taylor, before Eddie Fisher got involved with Elizabeth Taylor and they were divorced. But Carrie Fisher was their daughter, and I didn't know this either, but she was Princess Leia in Star Wars. She was like the star of Star Wars when Star Wars first came out. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know who was the I saw the movie, but I didn't know who the actress was that played the part. And didn't know the connection between Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, and Eddie Fisher. And then the day afterwards, the very next day, Debbie Reynolds, the mother of Carrie Fisher, died. So mother and daughter died within 2 days. Sort of, okay, this is kind of the things that we see coming up. And then if you go back a little bit further than that, John Glenn, our first astronaut. I remember I was working at the time at Lockheed Aircraft in Atlanta, and I hadn't met Hazel yet, but I would meet her in a few more months. He was circling the Earth in a space nose cone, which had been put up by a rocket. We had failed about 4 or 5 times in trying to put a nose cone into orbit, and we hadn't had, those were unoccupied, but the next one we tried with John Glenn in the nose cone. And lo and behold, it worked, you know, and but we had some problems. John Glenn had some problems when that spacecraft, that nose cone, was deployed into orbit because it had a heat shield on the thing. And the heat shield was going to be important for re-entry into the atmosphere because he was traveling around the Earth at about 25,000 miles an hour. And when he hit the atmosphere on the Earth, there was going to be a lot of heat generated from friction, molecular friction from the molecules of air that was there. And it was going to heat that space cone up to a red-hot temperature. And whenever this nose cone, or this heat shield, was loosened from the nose cone, the people who were running this in Houston, and John Glenn, who's sitting in that nose cone, did not know if he was going to be a toasted piece of crisp bacon or not. You know, it was going to, that thing, if it came off, that heat shield came off, it was going to be bad news for John Glenn. He was our very first astronaut. He survived it. It did not come off during the reentry process. He lived to be an Ohio senator for 2 or 3 terms anyway, and a national hero. during his reentry, I thought this was very interesting, in covering his death, they said that when he was reentering the atmosphere and the critical moment was coming, he didn't know if he was going to live or die. He didn't know if he was going to die a very painful death in that process. He was humming the battle hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He was in a position that he had seen something that no other human being, from at least from our part of the world, several Russians had been up, from our part of the world had ever seen before. And so I'm sure that had something to do with the way he looked at that and how he was going to die, if he was going to die. Mine eyes have seen the glory. And it's a religious song too, isn't it? Nancy Reagan died in 2016. Fidel Castro, and I knew a number of Cubans who were thrown out of the country by Fidel Castro in the 1960s, who were students at Georgia Tech. And they became Cuban refugees and had to live the rest of their lives in the United States. Might not have been that bad of a thing, really. But Fidel Castro died this past year. In this litany, last but not least, Merle Haggard died. And I think about Merle Haggard because we have a friend who used to be a church member in Elmira, but now he lives in Texas. Ken Hawkins, who lives in Texas, and in the past 6 months he had a child born. I think he has 8 now, Hazel, is that right? He has 8 children. And this child had some kind of a stroke. And he knows Don Henley. Now, again, I didn't know who Don Henley was, but he was one of the musicians from the Eagles. And Don Henley and Kenny, he has Kenny come to do all kinds of work on his house. So he called Kenny and flies down and gets him in his plane, brings him up to do some work on his house. And Kenny gets in there into the house, knocks on the door, and Henley was gone somewhere. But this old guy, decrepit old guy, comes to the door. And so Kenny sort of told him he was there to do some work, and the old guy let him in. Afterwards, Kenny reports to Don Henley about the job that he had done, and he said this old guy was there at the house. And Don Henley says to Kenny, "You idiot, that was Merle Haggard." So, Merle Haggard died this year. In every case, and no telling how many others, the news media reported these deaths as passed away. The people that were there on their obituaries passed away. Reflects a profound misunderstanding of death. Many people, however, in the churches of God have, from the days when 1970-71, when I was in Spokesman Club, when I made my mistake of saying that Ho Chi Minh had passed away, it was not common to use that terminology in the church. I just got this from Hazel. She heard the sermon, so she pulls these things out, gives them to me, and adds them into my sermon. Obituaries, United News, November, December 2016. Mylon P. Chauvin, individual who died. Mylon Chauvin, age 82, peacefully passed away on June 7th, 2016, in the hospice section of Mercy Medical Center in Canton, Ohio, following several years of declining health. Evelyn Marie Fahey, if you knew Bob Fahey, and was a prominent minister for a long time, especially going back into the days of Mr. Herbert Armstrong. He died several years ago, and now she, his wife, died. Evelyn Marie Fahey, 80, of Bolingbrook, Illinois, passed away on September the 12th, 2016. So it is this cultural thing has left a mark on us, and we communicate in a way that is a little bit inappropriate. Probably almost nobody notices it now, but we ought to communicate a little bit differently. And if we communicate a little bit differently, maybe people will notice that we have said something different. We ought to be communicating and saying that a certain person died. So what I'm doing in this sermon is providing correction for improperly saying about someone's death, such a person has passed away. Well, let's look at the basic information that God has given us about death. We have advanced information from God, in which he says, we are not smart enough to determine the difference between good and evil for ourselves. And to illustrate that, he gave us two different, separate, and different trees with different behaviors toward those two trees in the Garden of Eden. Now, I don't want to insult him, but Dave Teague, who is an artist and does very fine art paintings, is doing a painting of each one of his understanding of each one of the holy days. And he's doing them all oil on canvas. He spends 40 hours a week, week in and week out, and has now completed. He's working on the fifth one, I believe. He has two more to go. Each one of them take at least a year. I think one of them took almost 2 years for him to do. And they have been put in the central office in Cincinnati. And people who go there can see these illustrations that he has made of each one of the holy days. The reason I sort of, in advance of that, I don't want to insult him, because with all of that work on each one of these oil on canvas paintings and how profound each one of them is, I have two little pencil drawings that he made of the two trees, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree is illustrated as one. It's amazing how he could put so many different pieces of the hands of man in that one tree. You know, the roots where they go down into the ground, they're all shaped like the fingers and thumb of a man's hand. And all the way up through the tree, you'll see here, there, everywhere, another example of a man's hand. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have that framed and hanging on the wall at our house. And he has another one of the tree of life. And the tree of life is in the shape, the trunk of the tree is in the shape of a pregnant woman about to give birth. And so I have pictures. He's given me individual photographs of the big pictures that he's done, and we have those as well. But the ones that impressed me the most are, he said, well, I did those, both of them, in less than a day with pencil on paper. And to me, they make such a profound point that I think that they are very, very meaningful. And he has delivered something, in my opinion, that has a sufficient amount of simplicity that is very profound. God commanded, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, the man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of that fruit, deciding, and this is really the way to put it into simple terms, when you get to be so prideful that you think you can determine the difference between good and evil and ignore what I have told you, in that day, you will surely die. In the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. Now that relates to not a physical day. They ate, apparently, I would think, without really going and checking it, they ate of the fruit of that tree on the Sabbath day after they were created. As apparently they were created on Friday, and then the next day was the Sabbath day. And then, or shortly thereafter, they listened to Satan. And God had said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Did they die in that 24-hour period? No, they did not. But God had another way to define the day. This was a prophetic day he was speaking about. How long is a prophetic day? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So he gave himself when he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. He gave himself up to 1,000 years as a prophetic day before he fulfilled what he had said, the judgment that he had made in advance and told them before they committed this transgression. One day is with the Lord, Peter says this, as 1,000 years as one day. And of course, we can look at this in terms of the promises that God has made to us. Okay, I have this problem with my heart, and I'm praying, and many of you are praying, that God will heal me of this problem, and maybe he doesn't. Maybe I die. You know, and but God promised he would heal me. Well, God has options in regard to that promise, doesn't he? He could heal me today, miraculously, or he can heal me in the resurrection. There are different ways that God can fulfill that promise. It's a promise he's made, and he will fulfill it. Every man, every woman, it is appointed once for all people to die, and afterwards the judgment. So we're all under the sentence of death, and we'll look at why we're under the sentence of death. But God will fulfill that promise as he feels best. He didn't heal, you know, all of the 12 apostles. He didn't prevent their death. He let them all die, and some of them in the most difficult ways. He let Christ die in the most... God the Father allowed Christ to die in what was really one of the most difficult deaths anybody could ever imagine. But this promise that God, this word that God spoke in the Garden of Eden to Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you will die. Now the Bible tells us that one individual lived 969 years before he died. Who was that individual? Methuselah. He lived for 969 years. And usually, and you look at Genesis and you see these long lifespans and you figure out how long each one of them lived. Not one of them ever lived 1,000 years. Methuselah was the longest lived one. In the day, every one of them, in the day, the same day that they took of that fruit, and everybody, it isn't just that Adam did this, Adam and Eve made this one great transgression, is it? We've all done the same thing, haven't we? We have. And if God gave that sentence to them for taking that kind of power to themselves to decide the difference of good and evil, and then once you've decided what's good and evil, you're going to be in violation of what God said good and evil is, and you're going to be committing sin. 69 years, Methuselah died. We're all under the same sentence for the same reason. God is not a respecter of persons. Here's what we would have to say about it. Romans 3 and verse 23. And I think this is one of the most... It is because of, this, again, the simplicity and the... Here is also... simplicity reflected in this one verse of Scripture. All have sinned. Every one of us, we've all taken of that fruit ourselves, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. Once you have done that, it's reflected here. Paul gets around to it in Romans 6:23. The wages, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages is what we are fairly paid for what we do, isn't it? So it's used here to say, okay, here's the payment that you get. Death. The wages of sin is not passing away somewhere, going to some place in heaven, or else going to, since it's talking about sin here, going to a place called hell somewhere. I always knew, growing up and attending the Protestant church, knowing that it was down there in the earth somewhere, and it was very, very hot. John Glenn wouldn't even begin to know what the temperatures are in hell, and you're down there toasting forever without any hope of redemption. That's the lie of Satan, isn't it? The wages of sin is not burning up without any hope of ever getting out of that place forever. It's death. wages of sin is death. On the other hand, because of the death of Jesus Christ, this verse of scripture, it's one I meditate on from time to time. I really think this is very, very profound, and one we all ought to have as a piece of our biblical vocabulary, we would say. The gift of God. It is a gift because it is a gift. We don't have it. In the event that we had an immortal soul, and that immortal soul was going to survive our physical death, and we would be either in heaven, hell, or purgatory, somewhere in between. The Catholics have a place in between. If we were going to be in one of those places when we died, it wouldn't be a gift. The gift of God. And it requires an intervention of God for us to have eternal life. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. How do we get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's almost time for us to start thinking about the Passover. That's an important scripture that I always think of as I prepare for the Passover. But that was the information that God gave us about death. You know, when we die, we're dead all over. We don't pass away from one state into another state. And that is everywhere reflected, even among people who don't even believe in anything metaphysical. They still express this lie of Satan by saying that such and such a person has passed away. Passed away. Well, that was the information that God gave about death in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. But here's what Satan came right after God and said. And it is, as far as I can tell, the first recorded lie that Satan gave to mankind. He's given many lies to mankind since, but this one remains. And it is among the most profound of those lies. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. Satan took on the form of a serpent. And he said to the woman, you're not going to surely die. You know, you can just see that dripping. I mean, it's hard for me to read it without reading that it is really dripping of a spiritual attitude which is rebellious toward God. You are not going to surely die. That was the beginning of the basis for an immortal soul. If you're not going to die, what happens to you? Well, Satan has perpetuated that idea from that time until the present time in saying that God knows you can't die. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell or whatever. You're not going to die. You can't die. You will not surely die. Revelation chapter 12, verse 8, kind of gives us an overview of what ultimately Satan does. Revelation chapter 12 is kind of an overview of the church. It's also an overview of Satan. Satan eventually tries in that book to destroy God's church, and it says in verse 8 there, he did not prevail. And then he goes up against God in heaven and actually tries to overthrow God on his throne. Neither was there any place found any more for him in heaven. So you have that, and you have in John chapter 8, Satan recorded as being the father of lies. And that's one of his most important lies, where he has most deceived mankind. It is a lie that not only gets most of mankind to fail to understand what their destiny is. Because your destiny is what? Your destiny is to become a member of God's family, a child of God. But you're being subverted here by Satan if you listen to this, which 99.97% of mankind listens to this lie. You will not surely die. If you're going to heaven or hell, whatever that implication is, you're going to be being told you're not receiving the destiny that God has planned for you. So that's a big lie of Satan the devil. Here's something I would like to bring out. I'll try to do it quickly as possible. And that is the importance of every word. What are we talking about here? We're talking about two words on one hand and one word on the other hand. Passed away being a lie, and the other on the other side, died or dead. The soul that sins, it shall die. We don't have to go look at that. We're all familiar with it. It's just that we need to be, the correction is that not that we misunderstand these concepts so much, but we need to be careful about how we communicate them to other people. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The book of Deuteronomy is what? It's the second giving of the law. First giving of the law was Leviticus. After Leviticus was given, there was a 40-year period of time before the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, was written. The first giving of the law was applicable to them wandering around in the wilderness, and it had the basis in it for all of God's law, but there were other things added. When they get to the shores of the Jordan River, they're about to cross over, go into the promised land, spread out, take over a much bigger area, plant fields themselves, have crops to harvest, have harvested crops and save a tithe of it to go and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. When they were in the wilderness, they did not plant. Now, they were moving too much. They couldn't fulfill all of those requirements that you see then being put into the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy. And so Moses is here. This is his swan song, the book of Deuteronomy. He's telling them goodbye, but he's telling them, be careful to do these things that God has told you to do. And in this giving of the law, I have some additional things that I'm telling you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's interesting that, again, this is like on the checklist. It's not the big things, but here's some relatively small things that we need to be careful about. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments, that's big stuff, isn't it? Which I command you this day, you shall observe to do. seems to make it conditional upon life, doesn't he? That you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2, you shall remember all the way, 40 years, how long since you were converted? It is a parallel in your history, isn't it? Hazel and I were, this is our 49th year. We were baptized into God's church more than 49 years ago. This is our 49th year, more than 48 years ago. We were baptized into God's church. And if you look at the parallel, we've been wandering in the wilderness, learning about what God expects from us for all of that time. You will remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. For what reason? To humble you? Do I need to be humbled? Yeah. We all do, don't we? When we come to the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, every year we go through the procedure to learn, acquire, inculcate, make permanent an attitude of humility in ourselves. Humble you, to prove you. This is kind of a litany of things. To humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart. I don't think God needs to know what was in my heart. He already knew what was in my heart. He could tell that, but who needs to know that? I need to know what's in my heart. I mean, it reveals to me things about myself. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, he humbled you, suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might proceed out of the mouth of the Lord. I'm sorry. That he might make you to know. There was something that there was a point to this. It was a learning experience. You're supposed to know something as a result of your time in this physical life. Appointed all men once to die. Between when you are given the truth of God and when you die, he might make you to know, man, and this is, I look at this as being very analogous. So what's about to be said here is being very, very analogous. Make you to know that man does not live by bread alone. Now, we're going to have some nice bread over here along the wall when services are over. But is that what this is talking about? Or is there a spiritual application? What is the bread of life? Jesus Christ, right? But and that bread is necessary to give us life, isn't it? But do we live by that bread alone? Without it, we won't live. But do we live by that bread alone? Or is there more that we must do? If you love me, keep my commandments. The wages of sin is death. We have to have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but you must learn to live by not just bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, but also by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. A man lives. Christ is the bread of life. But if, he says, if you will enter into life, doesn't he? In Matthew, is it like I hesitate. Matthew 19. I'm not sure if that's the chapter, but anyway, in those chapters of Matthew, along about that period, the young man comes to Christ. Matthew 4. I think it's past what I'm talking about. I think it's past it. If you will enter into good master, what good thing must I do if I want to inherit eternal life? And he said, if you will enter into life, not just come to receive the sacrifice of Christ, but keep the commandments. He may make you to know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'll jump ahead of stuff that I have here and go to the conclusion. We hear frequently, all around us, in fact, almost exclusively, it's that people have passed away. They haven't died. This is a correction that we should take. Muhammad Ali didn't pass away. He died. Matthew 19:17. Thank you. Which says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Muhammad Ali didn't pass away. He died. Carrie Fisher didn't pass away. She died. Debbie Reynolds died. Nancy Reagan died. Fidel Castro died. Merle Haggard died. None of them passed away. And so this is a correction about a usage that we might have in just a few words. How we communicate that, do we communicate about the death of some person as though they had gone from the present state into another state? I would say not. We need to live by every word of God. And the words of God was, if you take of that tree, you will surely die. In the day that you do it, you will surely die. So what's the action we should take? Well, to me, Ken Swisher corrected me, and he gave me the correction that I needed, which I was prepared by that time in my life to accept. If I'd gone back 5 years before and I had not had a lot of groundwork laid for me before, I would have really rejected that. So that's the thing that I would recommend taking into effect when somebody comes and starts talking about death as passing away. If I think they are prepared to receive some correct information about it, then I would offer them the correct information. In almost every case, they aren't. You have to dig a whole mountain out in order to clear a pathway to get that piece of information to them. They're just not prepared for it, mostly. But if you encounter someone with a little bit of knowledge, say another church member who really knows the truth but may just be not thinking about the words that he's saying, pass away versus death, you might point that out to the person. So those are actions that I would recommend taking. Definitely, though, do not repeat the lie of Satan that somebody passed away. Our conversation should reflect that men have died. So that's a correction. Let us live by and communicate with these few words correctly.